This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Let's go!
The Rich Eisen Show. With guest host, Tom Pelissero.
Is this real life? You bet! Vanderbilt beats Alabama.
From The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And that's going to win it. Castellanos has done it.
Lamar bobbles the snap. Stiff arms a man. Slings in the back of the end zone. Touchdown!
It's a touchdown to Jalen Tolbert.
Today's guests, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport, plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Tom Pelissero.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Tom Pelissero in for Rich once again. We get to some phone calls today. We say, boys, 844-204-RICH, 844-204-RICH, as we get into all things across the NFL. Let's continue that conversation right now with a guy that you see with me on the Insiders 5 days a week during the season, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday nights, rather, on NFL Network. It's on YouTube. It's a podcast. It's all over the place. Ian Rappaport is with us right now. Ian, thanks a lot for logging into the link even before I had to text you and remind you that this was happening right now.
Have you been riding a lot of motorcycles around L.A.?
You know, I knew that was coming. I actually walked by.
Curious, like, there's people like to ride motorcycles, and to do so, you must have a leather jacket. I just hope you wear a helmet. That's all I hope.
No, first. I can't wear a helmet. You got the hair. I've got to let it blow in the wind. There's a photo actually in the hall that I walked by earlier today where Aaron Rodgers is dressed exactly like this on this same show. Maybe somebody can grab that here during the course of the segment. All right, Ian, a lot to get to around the NFL. Let's start out with, we talked about this on NFL Game Day kickoff yesterday, the Devontae Adams situation. Other teams involved certainly think this is potentially going to come to a head today or tomorrow. What's the list? What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, I would say coming to a head today or tomorrow makes sense. If only so, you know, like if he's going to play for the Raiders, then I think he'll be healthy enough to play for the Raiders and we'll move forward that way. There's no need to move him if he's just going to play. If he's not going to play, and certainly trading him makes more sense now, then you'd like to do it sooner rather than later, because if he's off the team by Wednesday, then you don't have to pay $1 million in salary. All right. So doing it now, I think, makes sense for all parties. I would say the two teams to watch are the Jets, which is where Devontae Adams wants to go, which is a team that has Aaron Rodgers, who I think it's fair to say could use his old friend in this offense that has looked better at times than it did on Sunday, and certainly has the cap space to absorb the contract and has the picks and maybe a player if that's necessary as well. Like, the Jets are, I think, a really good spot. That would make sense to do it now. They're back from London. Could use a little juice. And Rodgers has been recruiting him, obviously. So I think that would be one team to watch. The New Orleans Saints would be the other. They have been more aggressive when it comes to trying to trade for Devontae Adams. I just don't know if that's going to be the place that he ends up going, but I do know they've made some really good efforts to make it happen.
So with a team like the Saints, Ian, and we know the Saints are always doing cap gymnastics to rework contracts and push money back and everything else, I haven't gotten the sense, and I know the Raiders have told some other teams, we don't want to do what, let's say, the Broncos did 3 years ago and eat almost the entire salary to get a second, a third round pick for Von Miller. The idea of a second round pick and potentially more for a guy who the new team would take on the entire salary seems like asking a lot for a player at this stage of the career with Devontae Adams. What would a trade, if it's New Orleans or if it's, let's say, a Buffalo, another team that would need the Raiders to make some type of concessions from a financial standpoint, what does that trade even look like?
You know, I would say you do need to make some financial concessions. You can make it work, though. I mean, I think with the Saints could do it, right? I mean, they could for sure make it happen. I think they would need some assistance from Devontae Adams as well. And I think to actually absorb the contract first, which, you know, you have to have the space first. You can't trade for him without the space and then redo the deal. So you have to have the space first. The Saints could make it happen. They always make it happen. Kyrie does a great job. It would just be complicated. I don't know that it would be the Raiders having to pay, which, to my understanding, they have not been inclined to do so. I don't think that's something that Mark Davis has ever done, if I remember correctly, and I don't think it's something that he wants to do. But, yes, you would have to do some salary cap gymnastics in both places to make this happen. The Bills would be, I think, another place that would make sense. I don't know that they'd be considered a front runner, but they'd be another team that could probably use some more catches from wide receivers, especially a very good one like Devontae Adams. And, you know, these are reasons why the Jets make the most sense, because they could take him on. They could do it. Now, basically, it's a one-year deal, right? Like, I know the other 2 years exist, but they don't really exist, because if they couldn't come up with a deal, then you're just going to release him or trade him, and then that team will work it out. Like, basically what the extra years at the back end of the contract give you is sort of like right of first refusal. It's basically like a something to hold on to him to try to get a deal, to be the first team to get a deal done with him. So I view this more as a one-year deal. I think every team can make it happen. It would just be easiest with the Jets.
Ultimately, yeah, Devontae Adams is not going to see those numbers, which is over $36 million in 2025 right. And 2026. But what those effectively do is it gives the player the leverage here in terms of, listen, yeah, I'm going to be an unfettered free agent after the season because you're going to have to cut me or else do a new deal with me.
Well, it gives them leverage later, not now. Because, like, let's say he did want to go to the Jets, which he does, but let's say he didn't, they could just trade him anyway and he would have no say. You know what I mean? It would just be for the later years, you'd want to have some certainty.
If his deal's not being restructured in advance, where he could veto it would be, hey, we're going to trade you to, you know, pick a name out of the hat. We're going to send you to Tampa. They're not trading for him, but let's see. We're going to send you there. But you have to re-sign. Just even if it's a matter of taking the signing bonus and then go moving on, he can go, I'm not signing the paperwork, in which case he could effectively veto it. Right. Although at that point, the Raiders could go, well, we didn't want to trade you anyway, so now you're playing here. There's still some moving parts, big couple of days on that front. You also add elsewhere in the AFC West, another story yesterday on Rashee Rice, who we all saw go down with, I think it's fair to call it, an unusual-looking knee injury in that game. The initial reports were, well, it's feared to be an ACL, which it makes sense based on how his leg bent and what they found. Here we are, and it's, what, 8 days or so after that injury? We still don't know entirely what direction this is going to go. So break down the process today for Rashee Rice.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's pretty rare. I can't remember that many more examples of players who needed sort of exploratory surgery. Like, there's just not a lot of them where usually you say, like, all right, I've seen this injury before. You can tell the knee stability. Like, obviously this is an ACL or it's a MCL or PCL or whatever it is. This one, you know, the angle, usually when it's this angle, you'd say it was PCL or LCL. And I believe there is some damage there. We'll see how much. We'll see if it's surgical. And there may actually be damage to the ACL too. And the problem with an ACL injury, and I think Jalen Phillips found this out this weekend, is almost always, if it's partially torn, you need reconstructive surgery. If it's partially torn, you need to redo the whole thing because it doesn't really regenerate like other things. But he's going to have a scope today from Dr. Dan Cooper, the Cowboys team doctor, and that will determine where he stands. It's rare. I think you kind of mentioned it on TV Sunday. There's a very small glimmer of hope. It's not zero, but it's very small that the damage is, you know, little enough to where he could play this year. But I think most likely they're expecting a several months long recovery for Rashee Rice, who really has emerged as one of the best receivers in the NFL over the course of the last 4 weeks.
The last notable player I can remember trying to play on a partially torn ACL was Ryan Tannehill, who came back and rehabbed the entire offseason. And that's a different position. Quarterback's different. But Tannehill then tore the ACL the rest of the way the first week of training camp and then lost an additional season on top of it. That's kind of the danger here, especially when you're talking about a young player with a long career.
That's when you turned Jay Cutler into a Dolphin.
That is correct. And I was marooned in Miami for 2 weeks, and I had the tweet that still pops up on probably a monthly basis on Instagram. Jay Cutler has passed his physical and is now officially a Dolphin. We've got some potential quarterback news here in the coming days as well, actually in several different places. Let's focus on New England, though, here, Ian, because right now you watched the games yesterday. Caleb Williams played the best game that he's played. He's gotten better, it seems like, every week. Jaden Daniels is playing at a super high level despite the interception he threw 5 seconds after Mike Garofolo texted a bunch of us and said, boy, Jaden's playing great. And then we had to live with that curse for like the next quarter or so. Bo Nix also, they're winning when he's not, you know, getting into it with Sean Payton on the sideline here. All of which brings us to Drake May in New England, where it would be one thing if this were like Carolina with Andy Dalton, where like you're playing good enough and you're being functional. The Patriots are not functional right now. They are bad on offense. And you know that that echo chamber, particularly in the Boston radio market, talk radio, all that stuff is, and Chris Brockman sitting over here and pumping his fist as we're discussing this as well. There's going to be a lot of pressure to at some point put Drake May on the field. Are we at that point now?
So there is always pressure to put Drake May on the field, right? And I think in New England, you know, because that's such a vibrant radio market, there's always pressure. And I think anyone who goes to New England or places like that, there's a few of them. Philly would be one. New York is another. There's pressure every single week. So Jerod Mayo gets the same questions every single week, and he's going to continue to get the same questions until he plays Drake May. This is complicated. And, you know, I've seen a lot of these, as have you, Tom, and there's plenty of these where you say, like, all right, it's time. It's time to see him. And then you go out there and it's like, why didn't you play this guy earlier? And, you know, you see that storyline. I don't know that this is that. I mean, the Patriots offensive line is a work in progress at absolute best. They just lost their best offensive lineman in David Andrews, who handles the protection, who would have been huge for Drake May. They are not good. The team is struggling, I think, in a lot of aspects. And so, like, from a curiosity standpoint, as someone who likes football, like, I would be very interested in the Patriots starting Drake May. But it's really complicated whether it's actually best for him. Historically, there are a lot of quarterbacks who thrive because they've had to wait and learn, not been thrown out there. I mean, he played a quarter or whatever it was against the Jets and got crushed at least two times.
Right.
And played fine, but like, was that helpful? I mean, I know it's like, there's a shot right there. There's him getting crushed right there. Was that helpful? And I don't know. And this is what the Patriots are going to have to decide. It is definitely not simple in New England for this decision.
It's never a good sign when your head coach, every week when asked about the performance of the quarterback, uses the phrase toughness. Like, that basically means, like, Jacoby Brissett is back there being an absolute punching bag, and that's enough for him to stay in the lineup. You heard Jerod Mayo's tone or phrasing maybe change a little bit this week. But you made the point about the historical trends here. Elliot Wolf, who's effectively the GM there, Lonzo Highsmith's in the front office, Ben McAdoo, all these guys came from Green Bay, where the philosophy is you draft the guy, you let him sit and develop. And then in the case of Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers, it's 3 years before they get on the field. The difference, of course, is Jacoby Brissett is not Aaron Rodgers. He is certainly not Brett Favre. He's a guy who out there right now is, getting kicked around quite a bit, but they just aren't moving the football here. So certainly going to be interesting to see how they handle that situation. Meanwhile, Indianapolis is another one that I think there's probably more questions outside the building than inside it right now. Joe Flacco, they lose that game yesterday to Jacksonville. I don't think, though, that anybody watching that game goes Joe Flacco is the reason that they lost. The fact that Anthony Richardson was listed as doubtful to me means he's probably healthy enough this week to go out there. But how they handle this, particularly if Flacco keeps playing at a high level, at minimum is worth keeping an eye on, it seems.
I mean, it's definitely worth keeping an eye on. And Joe Flacco, once again, is presenting problems for his starting quarterback. I mean, we saw it last year, you know, came off the bench, played great, led the Browns to the playoffs, obviously ended up not re-signing as they moved, you know, continue to be all in with Deshaun Watson, as they still are and you know, will be going forward for a variety of reasons. Comes to Indy, and I think Anthony Richardson is insanely talented. I mean, insanely talented. I don't think anybody would question that. You watch the guy throw a football one time, like, it's stupidly talented. But that's not what wins football games. And Joe Flacco, at 39 years old, has seen it all, can process unbelievably quick, is delivering the football in a way that he honestly always has. I mean, he might be playing his best football absent that, you know, Super Bowl run. If you're Indianapolis and you have Anthony Richardson, who you believe is the franchise quarterback, who needs to play to show that he is a franchise quarterback, and I think, you know, it's probably at the point there where there's several people in the building for job security reasons why it behooves them to have Anthony Richardson playing. And then you have Joe Flacco, who could come in at any moment and lead the team to victory, or, you know, I mean, they should have lost that game by 12 or 14 or whatever, and Flacco leads them back and almost wins. Like, that's pretty impressive. So I don't know that it's much of a decision. Like, I don't think they're going to say Joe Flacco's our guy. Might they say we're going to let Anthony Richardson heal a little bit?
Right.
And be at 100%, like, could do that for sure.
The problem with doing that with Anthony Richardson, though, still is he's a guy who needs to play because he really hasn't played much football going all the way through his college career. And obviously last season, the last 3-4 games, he's a guy who needs reps. It's a reps-based position. It puts him in a difficult situation if all of a sudden you're going to say, hey, we're going to roll with Flacco. Even in the short term here, certainly you can do different things with Anthony Richardson, but actually going out and playing the position in games is a big part of what he needs. Tennessee also, another one. I mean, again, like I said, there's a long list of these quarterback situations. Seems like there's not an actual quarterback change there. It's still Will Levis, despite the one or two baffling mistakes that he has made virtually every week throughout the course of this season. But he is banged up. He's not going to practice today, according to Brian Callahan. What direction does that thing go in Tennessee?
Sounds like it's going in the Will Levis direction. He's going to practice, I believe, Wednesday. And then, you know, expectation is he'll be healthy enough to go. Will Levis is, I would say, a problem that is, they're not good problems, but this seems like a good problem to have because, you know, there are plenty of plays where you're like, this guy is the starting quarterback of the Titans and is looking good and makes plays and all that. It's really just that one play a game, like falling down, throws it behind him, pick six, like those plays. Brian Callahan was hired for a lot of reasons. And I think the sort of culture that he can bring a team was one, and you know, communication and openness and forward thinking. There's a lot of reasons he was hired. But to me, the thing that will help the organization most is that he should be able to get Will Levis to stop doing that. And if that can happen, then they probably have themselves something. Like, I don't know what Will Levis' ceiling is going to be, but he's played well enough to where you're like, this guy can win football games. So, you know, he also needs to play, needs to put himself in situations constantly to just be regular and effective and just let that continue to happen. And I think, to me, does sound like this week probably goes out there and does that.
He's not a real regular guy. That's the thing. I mean, he is, go back to everything through the pre-draft process. Obviously, you know, different people. There's, you know, the mayo stuff and the eating bananas with the peel and all that. He came across to so many people.
The mayo stuff being fake is definitely one of the most misunderstood. Everyone knows that's fake, right?
I don't think so. He has leaned into all of this.
Yeah, but it's fake, though.
In terms of he doesn't like mayo in his coffee, I'm shocked. I'm very shocked that this is a brand new thing.
That is fake. I think it would, yes, a lot of that going around, but the fact that some people think is real is, I think, a problem in our society.
But the way that he comes across, though, is he is very tightly wound and he's super energetic. And I think that, you know, for some people, they just thought that was maybe over the edge for what they wanted out of the quarterback position. The upside on Will Levis, in my mind, and granted, this is an oversimplification because he's playing right now, but it's Sam Darnold. Where Sam Darnold, you always saw the traits, you saw the athletic ability, you saw the arm. It was he would make absolutely catastrophic mistakes on a weekly basis that took your team out of games. And he's made a few mistakes here and there through the course of this season here, but it took, what was this, year seven for Sam Darnold? It took him a ways down the line to figure out how to play within the scope of the offense. That's what it seems like with Will Levis. We all see the baffling mistakes, but there's a lot of good in there too. You've just got to somehow get through all the stuff that, hey, when you're being tackled by two guys, don't try to throw a left-handed shovel pass in the red zone on first and goal. We don't need you to do that. Just don't do it.
Well, or like if you're trying to get a first down in the first quarter, maybe it doesn't make sense to go like Superman and launch yourself.
He probably had that first down, though. He probably, even Brian Callahan said, if he had a second angle, he might have challenged that. He probably had it.
Probably had his first down, but may or may not have detached his arm from his body, which is, you know, you got to be, and that's part of playing the quarterback position. And I look at where Brian Callahan came from. Like, you know, obviously the Bengals lost, right? But Joe Burrow is as chill and cool as a football player could literally ever be. He's like this, straight line all the time. And, you know, he'll make mistakes. I mean, I had one late yesterday, but seems never to be flustered. And I don't know that that's a reality for a lot of people. I mean, all of us try to be very cool under pressure and some handle it, you know, better than others. But to me, like, that's the goal. And, you know, for Darnold, you're right. It took him 7 years. It took him 7 years to get there, to be just like regular down in and down out without doing like a crazy thing. Might take Will Levis some time too, but that's where you want to get to. When like you're being tackled by two guys, there's no hope, and you go, all right, I'm just going to go down with the ship and we'll live to play another down.
I felt like that was a shot at me right there, Ian. Was that just look on your face, the way that you said some people handle pressure better than others? Was that directed at me, or am I reading too much into it?
No, I think you're reading too much into it. No, it wasn't. It wasn't actually. No, I was actually referring to myself, because like there are times when I very pride myself on being like cool and calm, and sometimes I'm just not. Like, you know, you get big news, you get all excited, you try to type it and your hands start shaking. Like, this is a normal thing that most people deal with, right? Like, no, of course not. It's not normal. But anyway, we all try.
All right, last thing for you, Ian. We are coming up. We are now under a month away from the NFL trade deadline. It'll be 29 days away from right now. You mentioned one name. I feel like you've tried to get DeAndre Hopkins traded about 8 times over the past several years when he was with different teams, 2 different teams, whatnot. You did bring up his name again yesterday as an option for the Chiefs. We know they're banged up a receiver again. We'll see what happens with Rashee Rice. But what are the chances somebody of a DeAndre Hopkins ilk, if not Hopkins himself, gets dealt at some point and quite possibly to the team that's going for a three-peat?
Well, I would say when you would say of DeAndre Hopkins ilk, so like DeAndre Hopkins 5 years ago would never get, I mean, he did get traded, but his trade would be like.
He did get traded 5 years ago, I believe, to Arizona. Yes.
Yeah. I would say not twice. He got traded and then he got released. That would be like Devontae Adams level. Where DeAndre Hopkins is now, still very effective. We've seen plenty of moments, but complimentary piece to a really good team. Like if he's going to get traded, that's what it's going to be. So there's like a couple of those guys around the NFL. He makes sense to Kansas City just because he built a relationship with them when he was a free agent. And this is sort of like, this doesn't happen that often, but remember, he didn't have an agent. So he was the one talking to like Brett Veach and Andy Reid and like the other Kansas City people. So that's why that relationship is there, because he built it, right? So that's why that makes sense to me. You know, there's some other guys who are like veteran level, very productive, would be the final piece. Like I think there's a pretty good chance the Chiefs trade for someone. I don't know whether it's going to be Hopkins specifically, because I think they'd like a cheaper option. But like if that's the best option, I think they make it work contract-wise and just deal with it.
Ian, thank you. Get back to work. See you on the Insiders podcast, which will be up on YouTube at like, I don't know what time zone I'm in. 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific later today.
I don't know what time zone I'm in either.
Thank you very much. Please change your shirt before that show. Ian Rappaport.
Right. Back to motorcycle riding.
Yeah. One of the best. Yeah, I'm gonna get that photo. I'm getting the Rogers photo.
Very so basically, similar. He's calling you Fonzie, is what he's saying?
he's made that comment every time I've worn this jacket, which specifically is why I wore it today, because I'm not. I, we don't have the Insiders Network show today, so I thought I could avoid him, but he still got the shot.
At least you don't have your Uggs jacket on.
You know, that one, that photo, you guys used that photo again, like a week ago.
Yeah, I did that.
It was a very furry hoodie. I love that jacket. It's very, very hot. It is very, very hot to wear. And I've tried wearing it in my home studio. I'm like, nope, the lights are way too close. All right, more NFL talk after this. Again, phone lines open, 844-204-RITZ. Let's talk about the state of the AFC East next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Let's talk LinkedIn people and small business owning. I'm a small business owner. Yeah, I might host the Rich Eisen Show, but I run it too. Rich Eisen Productions is a small business. And when you're hiring for small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why you've got to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. It's not just a job board, this LinkedIn. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. That's why you got to use them. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/Eisen. That's LinkedIn.com/Eisen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I am Tom Pelissero, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. 844-204-RICH, the phone lines. Let's go there right now. How about Steve in Melbourne, Florida? Steve, what's going on?
Steve.
Hey, not too much. Had a great Sunday, and besides getting ready for Hurricane Milton to make its way on through.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get your opinions on the game. You know, Trevor has a career game, 371, 2 touchdowns, had a great game. Another number one overall pick, Trayvon Walker, having a good game with 3 sacks. But I also want to just get your thoughts. I mean, you know, throwback uni days, which we need to go back to those. Tom Coughlin getting inducted into the pride of the Jaguars. And your thoughts on the rookie? I mean, he's ranked 6th in the NFL right now. And Jimmy Smith, all-time greatest wide receiver in Jags history, talking to Fred Taylor before the postgame show, saying, hey, this young kid, Brian Thomas, he has the ability to be better than I was for this franchise. And I just wanted to get your thoughts a little bit on that.
First of all, Steve, appreciate the call. Are you calling us on the way out? Are you evacuating at this moment?
No, I'm just out at work right now.
Okay, just making sure. I was going to say drive safely. Regardless, please please exercise every precaution. I mean, starting out with Brian Thomas Jr., I'm not surprised that he's had the highlight reel plays that he's had. Because back in the pre-draft process, when I'm talking to coaches and scouts who've really dug into the tape, everything you heard about Brian Thomas Jr. was, if you just edited together like a short highlight reel of his 20 best players or whatever at LSU, you could make the argument they're better than the Malik Nabers highlight tape. The difference is if you took the body of work for Malik Nabers every snap, it's much better than Brian Thomas because there's times he would disappear. Malik Nabers was the alpha dog. He was the one who was the emotional leader. He wanted it. Brian Thomas, nothing bad about the guy. He just wasn't that dude within the program. And so the consistency is going to be the big thing with Brian Thomas. The talent is all there. He is freakishly talented. He's a big dude who can run. He can make the highlight plays. You just got to figure out, is he able to do that on a regular basis? And, you know, to his credit here, he's made an impact for them early in the season. Love the throwback unis. I have been excited about every throwback uniform. Yeah. The Jaguars yesterday had theirs. The Broncos had theirs. These are very much the Tom Coughlin era Jaguars right there. Yeah. I think that the boxier numbers, right? The names are a little bigger. Everything's got an outline on it. That was very 90s and even 80s as well. There's a nostalgia aspect to this where you always think things from when you were a kid were better because that's what you remember. But I legitimately think I am all for any uniform where you can actually read the numbers and the names. That has not been a given over the last 15 to 20 years. There have been a lot of uniforms where you're watching a game on Sunday and you're going, I can't tell what guy that is. I can't read the number. I definitely can't read the name. I'm guessing. You knew who was on the field yesterday. And what do you know? The guy wearing number 16, Lawrence, actually looked like Trevor Lawrence.
Hey,
and that has
amazing.
Also been a little bit, you know, it was not a totally perfect performance by Trevor Lawrence, but those throws that he was missing, the plays that the previous week, you know, wide open dudes in the end zone, that didn't happen in the game. He made the right plays. He found a way, backs against the wall to step up and play easily the best game that he's played throughout the course of this entire season. The Jaguars were never a bad team. They had one really, really bad night in Buffalo in week three in front of the entire country. Every other Jaguars game is at 1 o'clock Eastern on Sunday. Most of the country doesn't see it. So they didn't see them fritter away a lead against Miami in week one. They didn't see against Cleveland in week two, the way that that game escaped them. Yep. Then you get into obviously the Buffalo game and then Houston again, they're in that game. They're up in that game. They finally close one out. That's what you got to build off here. They now go to the UK because they play two games in a row overseas, starting with the Bears this week. They're winnable types of games. They had to get this one. And I talked to some people there last night. I mean, this is one of those ones that's like the feeling is just finally.
Relief.
Like, finally, you get a win.
Yeah.
That plane ride would feel twice as long if you're 0-5 versus 1-4. Defensively, they're still really struggling. That's the biggest issue with the Jaguars right now. It's not Trevor Lawrence. Yeah, he can't play the way that he did in week four, but this looked like him. And they did it without Evan Ingram yesterday, too. So you're going to get Ingram back. Tank Bigsby looks excellent.
Beast. Yeah.
He looks like the best running back they've got on that roster.
Agree.
The defense has to get better. And they're going to face a guy in Caleb Williams who's coming off the best game that he's had in the NFL.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence, career-high passing yards. You hit for 85 yards on a touchdown. That helps. Another 60-yarder to Christian Kirk. Hyperbolic, sure. But do you think that saved Doug Peterson's job yesterday?
I don't think that there's any one game that's going to save Doug Peterson's job. I don't think he was getting fired before a two-game trip to London. But it certainly helps to get that win. And now if you can win these two in London, or at least win one out of the two, you're still afloat as you get toward midseason. There's not a lot of precedent for taking an international trip with an interim coach. So anything that was going to happen probably wasn't going to happen before this trip anyway. They showed yesterday, this is what they can do offensively. For all the criticism of Doug, for all the criticism of Press Taylor, offense is not their issue right now.
Right.
Ryan Nielsen and that defensive staff have to figure things out on that side of the ball. Because again, they're facing the guy next week who is on the ascent. Every week with Caleb Williams has gotten better. They got a lot of talent on that Bears offense, and maybe they're starting to figure out some things.
Yeah, I mean, Flacco looked like MVP yesterday.
That run by Joe Flacco, was something. Like, no one's catching him. It's a 21-yard run, but he runs like an actual distance, like 50 yards, because he runs all the way from the right side of the pocket across the field.
He reached, the next
22
gen?
Miles an hour.
No, that was Brian Thomas. Brian Thomas was the fastest player in the NFL.
Fast.
No, it was like almost 17 miles an hour, which was the fastest run of Flacco's career since they started tracking
him. Faster than I'm going at my age.
Yeah.
Let's back to the phones. Daniel in Omaha. Daniel, it's Tom. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing great, man. What's on your mind?
Good. I was just calling about the Rams and their issues this season. We're off to a 1-4 start, the worst start in the Sean McVay era. And that, you know, it could be attributed to injuries, the youngness on the of the roster, new defensive scheme. But I just wanted to talk about, like, McVay and some of his coaching decisions. And I'm not calling for McVay's head or anything. I made a pretty bad tweet last night. a little overreaction Sunday night, saying
it's
about
natural.
Maybe McVay should be on the hot seat.
Ooh.
But I have clear mind today. Yeah.
So, wow. glad you calmed down there, Daniel. Sean McVay he's still one of the best best coaches in the NFL. Thanks. Appreciate the call. I think that, and listen, everybody's got problems, right? Everybody has injuries and other things. There's not a lot of teams that lose their top two wide receivers, especially guys as good as Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, and then also lose, like, what, four of their five starting offensive linemen? I mean, they're playing with one hand tied behind their back with an older quarterback who's effectively on a one-year deal right now. To me, that's the story. To say nothing of the fact that on the other side of the ball, you don't have one player who single-handedly can either eat up three blockers or make a play if you only block them with two. In Aaron Donald, there's a transition on defense. There's no doubt about it. But when you're talking about, you know, what you should do offensively and what their shortcomings are on that side right now, it probably shouldn't surprise anybody. I mean, it's one thing to say, okay, we've seen, for instance, Matt LaFleur, the Packers beat the Rams yesterday. When they were without Jordan Love for a couple of games, and they had to figure it out with Malik Willis, who's a backup quarterback, but they did have their other players around him. They did have Josh Jacobs, who you can throw a hand off the ball to, and they did have a bunch of weapons in the passing game, and they do have a really good defense. You know, it's almost in some ways, it's a different type of a challenge, maybe not a lesser challenge, but a different type of a challenge to say, we're going to play the different quarterback as opposed to, remember your whole offensive line and the two guys you were going to throw 80% of the balls to? Yeah, they're all gone.
Yeah, they're all gone.
You got to work without all these dudes. Yeah. That's the story of it. You know, the real interesting thing for the Rams, because you look at their schedule upcoming here, they're on their bye this week. Then they get the Raiders. Then they've got, it's a Thursday night game against the Vikings there before they go at Seattle in week 9. At some point, you know, maybe you're probably getting Cooper Kupp back, right? Cooper Kupp's probably coming back at some point in those next couple of games. Puka Nacua, we'll see exactly when that is, but that shouldn't be too far away either. If you lose one or maybe even both of those games between the Raiders and the Vikings, and then you got a long weekend to think about it, are you going into sell mode? That's really the question when it comes to the LA Rams. Because again, you've got the coach. When healthy, you think you've got the horses. But if you fall to 1-6 or even 2-5,
yikes,
you had to really be thinking about, we've got some, take Cooper Kupp, for example.
I was
going to
say, so you talk Selma with the Rams. Who are we talking specifically?
Cooper Kupp is one who, at this point, he's not the youngest player anymore. He's obviously had a ton of productivity, but he would command a lot.
31 years old.
He would command a lot at the trade deadline just because how often does a player like that become available? Could Matthew Stafford be available? He's essentially on a year-to-year plan. He gave up his future guarantees. We don't know if he intends to play football in 2025. Stafford might not know, and I'm sure he's got to talk to his wife and his family and everything else and make decisions going forward here. I don't know that there's anybody in the market to go out and make like a marquee quarterback trade right now. And I'm not saying that the Rams have him available. What I'm saying is you lose a couple more games here, and you're trying to think, how do we maximize what we can get? The guys at the top of that list are going to be your older skill position stars, and that's Stafford and Kupp, just based on history. Terzo in Iowa.
All right.
I knew Terzo would call in while I was here. What's going on, Terzo?
What's up, Tommy P? It's always great whenever you're there. What's up, Brockman? What up, TJ?
Terzo, what up,
Terzo?
Man, I'm just disappointed in my Niners team right now. 0-3 in conference, 0-2 in the division, giving away games in the fourth quarter. This team knows how to win. I just don't know what's going on. I can't articulate it. Yesterday was just disheartening in our red zone effort, and it was kind of the same. It's kind of been the same thing all year. We just can't push through, and we're kicking too many field goals, which gets us closer to losses.
Well, and on top of that, then the kicker gets a high ankle sprain yesterday and is now going to be out for several weeks. So kicking field goals at the end of that game wasn't even an option. You know, I think that one of the interesting things, and Terzo, appreciate the call. I think that one of the things that's unique here is the quarterback is playing well. Brock Purdy is keeping them in games right now. Some of the perplexing things that are going on is they just, even without Christian McCaffrey on the field, who normally would be a high volume type of player, I think that, you know, the backup running back has played well to this point. It's they haven't been able to get all their weapons going at the same time. For the first four games of the season, it was where's Brandon Ayuk? You look at his numbers. I saw somebody made the comparison between the Brandon Ayuk numbers and the Romeo Doubs numbers to this point in the season. They were virtually identical through the first 4 weeks of the season. One guy, and there's a lot going on with Doubs here, but certainly frustration over how things were going there is a piece of the puzzle. The other guy got $30 million a year.
Right.
And still wasn't really a factor. Yesterday, Ayuk had like eight catches for 80-something yards. He had a, you know, he actually made a couple of big plays for him in the game. That's what they need out of that guy. George Kittle got himself going. But where was Deebo? I had to look it up this morning because I was watching the game on Red Zone. I'm flipping back and forth through multiple games. I never saw Deebo. He had one catch for, I believe, 3 yards, and he had three rushing attempts for Deebo.
Yikes.
That is Kyle Shanahan's favorite player of all time. That is one of your absolute, your core dudes, your dogs on the team. And he's touching the ball 4 times in the game. There's something that's slightly off right now with the 49ers. Defensively, they've been, I think, okay, but they had breakdowns yesterday. And obviously, you got really talented dudes like Kyler and Marvin Harrison Jr. who are going to get theirs, but they don't seem to have, I'm not going to say they don't have juice, I don't sense that they're not playing hard. They're not the same 49ers team. And part of that may well be Christian McCaffrey has set the tone for you for 2 years. He's been the guy that everything runs through him. It's one thing to lose a guy, you know, tears an ACL in June. It's another thing to go into the season, go right up to week one thinking this guy is back. He's going to be the focal point of the offense. And then the Achilles starts bugging him and you don't have him. And they still don't know when they're going to have him. They still expect or they believe, they hope they're going to get him back this season. But they don't know, is it in 2 weeks? They play Thursday night this week. They were never going to get him back for that game. Is it the following week? Is it sometime in November? And it's all going to depend. How does he feel as he continues to ramp up? It doesn't sound like this is something where he's at risk of tearing his Achilles, but if the pain gets so bad, which is why he didn't end up playing in week one, then there's just not a whole lot that the guy's going to be willing to do. Yeah, he might be able to go out there and play one game for you, but if the pain is so great that he can't go the next week, what are you really accomplishing here? And that's led to them having to, you know, rearrange some parts. It's a really good question. I would say that division right now, like a lot of divisions, is completely wide open. I mean, the Cardinals, you can make a case just based on what we've seen from the Cardinals to this point that they look like they might be the most dangerous team in the NFC West. Mm-hmm. Again, the 49ers, they usually figure it out. Kyle's one of the best coaches in the NFL. They usually find a way, particularly when the quarterback is playing at a high level. But Seattle yesterday, losing to the Giants at home, you know, they had a lot of positive energy going. They start 3-0. They're still a good team. Geno came back, made some plays down the stretch, just wasn't enough in that game. And then you got the Rams, who are 1-4. And we're talking in the, you know, 5 minutes ago about, are they going to sell everybody before the trade deadline? There's no reason the Cardinals can't be a factor. They got to continue to take steps forward. They got to continue to get better and play more consistently. But when Kyler's rolling and healthy like he is right now, and when Marvin Harrison Jr., you said earlier in the show, Brockman, Jaden Daniels, the no doubt rookie of the year. That's probably true because when in doubt, the quarterback is going to win over the guy who plays any other position.
Yep.
But Marvin Harrison Jr. is pretty good and he makes some hellacious plays on a weekly basis right now. I would just say don't overlook the Arizona Cardinals. Got to continue to get him to get better. But we're talking about that race. Don't look past them.
49ers real quick. I know we got to get to break. Deebo on the block with Ricky Pearsall coming back soon.
Would shock me.
Okay.
At this point. I mean,
on the trading lot?
Yeah, he was a guy they were looking to move in the offseason.
It's something there. Well, they weren't looking to move Deebo. They were trying to figure out the answer.
He was getting calls
before the draft about both of those guys. Right. They weren't going to let him go for a lot. Deebo will be one to watch after the season, not even necessarily in a trade, but Brandon Ayuk currently makes like, I don't know if it's $8 million more per season than Deebo. Debo's going to want to have that addressed, and if the 49ers are not in a position to address it, then one of those guys is going to have to go. All right, let's take a quick break here. Phone line's still open, 844-204-RICH. A lot more NFL breakdowns from Week 5 after this. Tom Pelissero in for Rich.
Listeners, please welcome a real finance nerd from our sponsor, NerdWallet. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having me.
We all know NerdWallet for their credit card comparisons, but there's more to it than that, right?
So much more. Even for credit cards, it's not the basic this card versus that card. With us, you can filter for features you want, add your top cards to a comparison table, and get access to exclusive offers.
Smarter tools, smarter financial decisions.
Exactly. Beyond credit cards, we research and review thousands of other financial products, from high-yield savings accounts to mortgage lenders, so you can find the smartest products.
Hear that, world? NerdWallet is not just credit cards.
Thanks for that important PSA, Rich.
And where exactly should people go to compare and find these credit cards and savings account and mortgage rates and more?
NerdWallet.com/learn more.
Thanks again to NerdWallet, our paid sponsor of this segment. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
Hey, that's my line. Finance smarter, y'all. NerdWallet Compare Inc., NMLS 1617539.
Let's talk about game time tickets, people. We've been talking about it, actually, for months here on the Rich Eisen Show and our Rich Eisen podcasts. But guess what? There's something new to tell you about Game Time. There's a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. Yet another way that Game Time makes things easier for you when you're looking for tickets to anything in your area. With the new Game Time Picks, it's curation easier to save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with the all-in pricing feature, which is my favorite, you get to see the total up front, so there's no surprise fees at Game Time checkout. And with Game Time, you always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time's going to credit you 110% of the difference. Plus, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying concert tickets in particular with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
There were a lot of lasting images out of the fifth Sunday of the NFL season, which there should be. It lasted for over 15 hours.
Week five already, though, man. Yeah. It's flying by, dude. It's
moving quick. When you remember, we are 29 days out from the trade deadline, and we're already talking about who should be selling
right
now. We have advanced quickly here. Yeah. You had wacky touchdowns. You had two of over 100 yards. You had the blocked field goal returned all the way. And then you had some of the unusual ones. For instance, the Denver Broncos won a game yesterday in, relatively handily as well. And you had an interesting sideline exchange between Sean Payton and Bo Nix. I want to play for you what Sean Payton had to say about exactly what happened.
It's just, there's still a little bit of Ferris Bueller in this player that we got to get rid of. All right, talking about Bo, and I love him to death. And so sometimes it's my love language. All right.
Can you say what it was about?
No. Okay. No. Absolutely not.
All right. So hold your thoughts, Brockman, because I do
okay.
want to know.
Okay. Yeah.
You're the movie buff here.
Of course.
But Bo Nix, who, mind you, was born 14 years after Ferris Bueller's Day Off came out, here was his reaction to what Sean Payton said.
Yeah, I've watched the movie. But, I think it's funny. That literally, I think, explains the situation, that we're just out there with, great competitive intensity and fire, and we can have those conversations and move right back along and score, another few touchdowns. It doesn't bother us.
Do you like that character?
Yeah, I think that movie's funny. I think it's a great, great movie. I've only seen it a handful of times because it's kind of old, but I think it's good.
All right, I'm going to leave for a second the fact that Bo Nix is wearing a 1977 Broncos throwback with the number of John Elway, who wasn't on the team until 1983. Let's set that aside for just a second here.
Who wore seven before? It was
Craig Morton.
Craig
seven?
Morton, yeah, exactly. It's a Craig Morton throwback.
So, all right, just Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Tell me what Sean Payton exactly means when he says that.
I think, and TJ, you've probably seen this movie a lot too. You can, Ferris Bueller, number one, one of the coolest movie characters, I think we could say, of all time.
Factual.
Right? I think that Sean Payton is saying that it's sometimes Bo Nix thinks he's a little too cool for school, whether with the sarcastic comments back to him, maybe just the generational attitude that he has about some things. You know, when you try to Tom, you're almost there with your kids, like, Dad, don't talk to me. I know what I'm doing. Well, you're 10. Like, no, you don't.
Oh,
you know,
I'm there.
So I think that maybe that's what Sean means. Also, Sean Payton, let's not forget, is an absolute hardo. Okay, he grew up under Parcells, all right? Right? This guy has one way, and it's his way. And Bo Nix, you know, was like, I got this, the old man, almost in a way of speaking, you know?
And he turns his back on him, TJ. That's the thing that struck me was, when Sean is going to get on you, there's another few other phrases I could use here, but when he's going to get on you,
yeah,
turning your back usually doesn't go well.
No.
So your interpretation of the Ferris Bueller line.
Well, you know, what do we know about Ferris, right? He's a fun-loving kid. You know, he wants his friends to be happy. He wanted nothing more than Cameron to come out of his shell,
right,
and just have a fun time, a fun day with him when he normally wouldn't, you know? He wants his friends to stand up for themselves, to be confident. You know, he's fun and he's loyal and he likes to make people laugh. So these seem like positive attributes to me. So I'm not sure why Sean wants him to lose all of
that. Exactly.
Like,
to get that out of him, I don't like that at all. I don't like that, Sean Payton.
Now that I'm thinking about it, is it just this is Sean saying basically Bo Nix took the Ferrari out of the garage and went joyriding and I did not give him permission to do so?
Probably, kind of.
That's an option on that. Kind of.
You're not supposed to do it.
Sean's coming off like Principal Rooney right now, man.
Yeah.
Rooney? I don't get it. I don't understand what that means.
He's done it 9 times.
9 times.
You know it,
so don't play like you don't.
Chris, that Bo Nix is a righteous dude.
All right, so who is the Charlie Sheen in all of this then on the Broncos?
Oh, man.
The bad boy.
Yeah, the bad boy is trying to hit on his sister.
In the principal's office. Oh, that's there he is, or is he in detention?
They're at the police station.
Yeah. Oh, they're at the police station. Yeah. That's right. What movie am I thinking of? Am I getting that confused with Breakfast Club? See, here's the problem.
Yeah,
the Breakfast Club detention. All the John Hughes movies all kind of blend together in my head.
That's in
the library.
They're
all very similar. They all have the same rhythm. They're all about high school kids who, you know, are upper middle class, but somehow are depressed about their existence.
And
they find a way suddenly to become friends with the other kids who are disillusioned for no reason. That's basically what a John Hughes movie is.
Yeah, they're great.
And they're amazing.
The foundation of our youth.
Right.
Name your top 5 John Hughes movies. You got 1 minute.
We have one minute.
Go ahead, Brockman.
Ferris Bueller's number one, and then everyone else is tied for second.
You put that above all the other movies.
Yeah, Ferris Bueller's amazing.
Pretty in Pink.
Nah, not my speed.
Home Alone.
Home Alone, I think, is 1B.
That's different.
It's a different type of movie.
He's a little cleaner.
Kevin McCallister says in the store, "Ma'am, I'm 8 years old. Do you think I'd be out here alone?"
I mean, mine are Weird Science.
Weird Science.
Uncle Buck. Christmas. Well, nah, I don't think Christmas Vacation better than Vacation. So Weird Science, Uncle Buck.
You don't think Christmas Vacation is better than Vacation?
I just love Vacation a little bit more. I don't know which one was actually funnier, but Home Alone, Vacation, though, is, yeah.
I saw Christmas Vacation for the first time a year ago.
Wait, okay. What?
Tom.
Again.
What are you doing in that chair?
Bingo. All right, Bill, we're recording now. And please put your phone on silent.
Oh, where is my phone?
Let's go, man. Okay. Get it together over there, player. Go ahead. Pick on me the way that you want to.
I would say that to my son.
Just go.
All right, why would people want to listen to The Sims Complete Podcast?
Father-son dynamic duo talking about the game of football.
We do a lot of quarterback and coach talks. It's fun. I love doing this. It's been awesome.
Sims Complete. Check us out on the Believe Network. Appreciate it.
Just search Believe, BLEAV, wherever you listen.